This is the 22nd in our series of 42 Tarot explorations of the laws of divine laws of life. We've completed the first half of the series. We've got 21 more to go coming tonight. So we're starting the second half of the laws of life explorations. And our question tonight is, what is the divine law of sex and how can aspirants best harness it? As in get in the saddle, I guess. But that would be the implication of the real question. Anyway, I've shuffled the cards and laid them out, and we have the following spread, which you can see up on the screen. We have the starting point is the Seven of Rods, upside down. The counterpoint is the Eight of Pentacles, right side up. The creative challenge is the Ace of Pentacles, upside down. The purpose is the Four of Rods, right side up. The endowment is the Eight of Swords, upside down. The destiny is the Two of Rods, right side up. And then going to it's upside down. It looks upside down to me. I don't know why I said right side up. Just fork of habit. And then we go to the the Pillar of Revelation, and the real question is the Knight of Pentacles upside down, which is difficult since he's riding a horse, obviously upside down. The Unseen Forces is the Moon, the first major card of the major arcana we've encountered in this. It's upside down. It's number 18 or a 9 in the major arcana. The ninth card, or the spiritual ideal, is the Nine of Cups, upside down. And we already have some heavy breathing going on. So I'm going to mute here. All right. And the combination is death, upside down. And death is also from the major arcana. It's the 13th card, or a 4, in the major arcana. So we have 2 upright cards and 8 reverse cards, 2 majors, 1 sword, 3 rods, 1 cup, and 3 pentacles. The 3 pentacles, totally expected, since we're talking about the law of sex, and it is a subset of the law of attraction, but dealing specifically with the physical plane. The interesting element here is the rods, the 3 rods, which means that we're meant to use the mind to control and direct the expression of sex and the use of the law of sex. So the more we understand about this, the better off we are. And the upright cards, reverse cards indicate the application of these ideas. The upright cards represent an ideal or an abstract quality as we express this. And so without any further ado, let's go on and evaluate this spread. I want to start with the culmination, death. This is the second week or second session in a row in which death appeared in the spread. Last time when we were talking about, what were we talking about last time?
Polarity.
Last time it was in the position of the spiritual ideal and was upright. Now it's reversed and it's in the position of the culmination.
Fulfillment.
And this is very interesting because, first of all, when you get to reading Dion Fortune's book, Through the Gates of Death, she says the gates of death are the same as the gates of birth. And that this is just a reverse process, that death is the withdrawal of the energy of life from the physical form, causing the death of the body. Whereas sex is what opens the gate and allows an incarnating spirit or life or being to enter in and take up residence for a while in a physical form. So we need to think of these as bookends, so to speak, that death is a symbol for birth as much as it is for anything. And what the law of sex governs is the relationship between the life of spirit and its expression and form. And at its highest level, the energy of sex is the energy of creativity, which is why there's such an emphasis on the mind with rods, the seven of rods, the two of rods, and the four of rods. This emphasizes that the real workings out of the law of sex deal with it as a force of creativity, mental creativity, and only indirectly as a force for procreation on the physical plane. So that's the first thing to do and to recognize. And that secondly, a second aspect of this is that it is by nature the conjoining of opposites, male, female, what have you. And ultimately, those two opposites are the soul and the personality, the inner and the outer. We'll see that when we get to the Eight of Swords in the position of the endowment. But I wanted to start with death so that you have this understanding that when we're talking about life and the procreation of life, the physical plane, the whole process of sex, as mysterious as it seems to any 14-year-old of either sex, is nonetheless a very orderly and carefully worked out expression of energy, which is designed to bring heaven to earth through the interaction of the pairs of opposites. And in fact, at one point in all those blue books, DK through Alice suggests that when humanity manages to establish equilibrium between the sexes and creates the divine hermaphrodite. Yes, that's it. That's what I was looking for. there would no longer be any dynamic tension, or the law of sex is a subset of the law of attraction, and that's why I have this artistic demonstration. That piece of artwork that I have on the screen is entitled Magnetism. It's a kind of an abstract approach to it. But that's why I picked it. I want you to understand the agony and the pain I went through in searching for the right picture. I had to go through all kinds of photographs that I wouldn't be able to put up on the screen. It was dirty work. I mean, it was nasty. Well, it was work, but I felt that it was my job to find a suitable illustration. So I settled for the abstraction of magnetism. But if you put up sex, there's God knows what you get. And attraction isn't very much better. But magnetism seemed to work. So anyway, I want you to understand the rigors that I go through, the humiliation I experience while I am preparing for these sessions. So having talked about the culmination, we can now come back and talk about the starting point, the Seven of Rods. The Seven of Rods is, in my symbolic terminology, I refer to this chap as the wise husbandman of human living. And so this farmer or wise husbandman is the masculine pole, and he's drawing forth, he's imbuing the growing plants under his care with the energy to grow and take life. He's infusing them with life. This is a symbol of the soul as the wise husbandman who impregnates the fertile ground of the personality and brings things to bear, brings human life to fruition. And in a very practical sense, perhaps the most profound way to look at this is that anything we do to enrich life on earth is an expression of this divine law of sex. So if we learn to infuse the work we do with joy and goodwill, then we are infusing life with spiritual force. We have to keep in mind that the physical forms are static or unmoving force, whereas divine life is made up of moving, living force. And so an idea, when we're able to convert, transfer an idea from the metal level to a form in the physical plane, then we're working with the divine law of sex. Whether it has anything to do with sexual interaction or not, the enrichment of life on earth through the use of the mind is indeed an expression of the divine law of sex. And in fact, Rose and I were out doing errands this afternoon. And as we were driving back towards the home, we were driving up Yellow Creek Road, which is one of those roads in our vicinity named for all the gold mines. Yellow Creek being a...
it's actually on gold mine.
Yeah, well, is it on gold mine mm-hmm. as opposed to Yellow Creek? All right, yeah. Well, we were driving up Gold Mine Road, and we came across a whole field that used to be a horse pasture, which is now filled with vibrantly blooming white, whatever they are, ornamental trees that have propagated themselves. Nobody bothered to do this. Nobody planted all these trees. It's just this former horse field pasture that has become home to all these wonderful, glorious, white, blooming, ornamental trees. And I said to Rose, I called her attention to it, and I said, now there's sex in action. There's the product of sex, because, of course, it in this particular case is just the birds and the bees spreading the pollen and whatnot, the seeds all over the field and causing new trees to grow up. But it's not just humans that can do this. It's all of life is designed to do this. And it was truly a show of incredible beauty and glory, because hundreds of trees, it's kind of like Wordsworth and his field of 10,000 daffodils. There may not have been 10,000 trees, but there were hundreds and hundreds of trees, all in full glorious white blossom. And it was breathtaking. And that's an expression of enriching, heaven-enriching life on earth and sharing some of its beauty and glory. And that's what the law of sex is all about. It's our way of propagating and infusing life on earth with spirit. And ultimately, that is the duality, spirit and form. And in our lives, sometimes they seem to be separate and very unequal. But when it comes to the expression of potential, inner power, it is through the processes of sex and their higher, more sublime correspondence, creativity, that this occurs. And it occurs, it has very little to do with two people getting into bed together and having a close, intimate, close encounters of the fourth kind. It's, or whichever kind. It has to do with enriching life on earth. And here again, we have to understand that spirit is energy and form is form, it's concrete. And the challenge to the human being, even in terms of creating new physical forms and inducing physical life, the act of sexual intercourse creates a vortex that magnetically draws in a incarnating soul of a comparable quality to the consciousness of the parents. And if we understood that, we could make huge leaps forward in the process of bringing in enlightened individuals, because if we approached the act of procreation, the act of sexual intercourse, with the idea of bringing the higher into the lower, then with a certain amount of purification and aspiration, we would attract much more advanced individuals than is normally the case. But in fact, one of the realities of sex or creativity of any kind is that as it, when approached as a spiritual exercise and not just a couple of animals rutting in the spring or on the springs or whatever, if we approach it as something enlightening, there is a tremendous outbreak of energy, a tremendous radiance of light that is released by this union. And so there's three elements to this process, and the three elements are attraction, union, and then birth. The process of the law of sex is designed to create, give birth to expressions of higher levels of life that otherwise could not be possible. And it's a an act of great beauty and radiance when looked at psychically. Okay, so the one of the dominant qualities, I'm still talking about the Seven of Rods, believe it or not, one of the dominant qualities here is the quality of nurturing love. It is the impulse to cultivate a better expression on earth that leads us to interact with the law of sex at whatever level. And the goal is to create forms which allow these baby rods here to grow up and respond to the loving maturity and wisdom of the masculine impulse here. So that's our starting point. And the more we can cultivate the life in our expressions, whether it's as a parent and cultivating the life of the children that we rear, or whether it's a creative person cultivating the life within his or her art or writing or whatever it might be, the principle is the same. The law works in both cases. What we're doing here is enriching life on earth with an expression of heaven. And this can only work if we have laid up treasures in heaven. We have access to the light of heaven and the beauty and the joy. But if we do, then there's no limit to the ways that we can express this. All right, that's the starting point, the Seven of Rods. We go on then to the counterpoint, which is the Eight of Pentacles. And this is of a carpenter in his workshop, and he's got his three nails here in his pocket, and he's building these little plaques that he's putting on his wall, also known as pentacles. He's hard at work, which conveys to us the fact that God is at work and so must we be. And in fact, this is the higher correspondence. Notice that the workshop has this huge window which is translucent or transparent. And in fact, it's the interaction of the physical with the etheric levels of life. And so there's a seamless, in fact, if you look at the floor of his workshop, it has the same cloud pattern as the clouds out the window. So it's this invisible structure of, and we have to understand that's what sex is. It's an invisible structure linking heaven with earth. The it is not just an exchange of bodily fluids between consenting adults. That's a mechanism by which this occurs. But far more importantly, when it's a properly approached, sex and sexuality is a link between the physical and the inner levels of life. The point I'm getting at here is that when a boy or a girl reaches adolescence and suddenly becomes aware of hormones that never troubled them before, this is not something that is just a function of age. The hormones link them to and are stirred by an awareness of the sexual energy in inner dimensions. And sex is not just an element of the physical plane, nor is it focused entirely on it. The pressures of sexuality are far more astral than they are physical. And, of course, this is why the adolescent teenager suddenly becomes aware of hormones, activated and stirred by their inner emotional sexual energies, and develops severe cases of puppy love and so on. And to put it in acceptable terms here. But the real energy is a cosmic energy. And we'll see that when we get over to the moon here, the hidden forces, the unseen forces. There's no pun on that card. You can deal with that any way you want. But it does indicate that there are, when we're talking about this, we're talking about a cosmic energy which brings that which is separated together. Sex can only occur where there is the tension between the pairs of opposites. And once they're brought together and joined, then it has to result in some kind of new birth, physically or in terms of creativity or in terms of something else. But there is that relationship between among constellations, among planets, etc. Any being, any life, being of life, it works with cosmic energy, with sexual energy. And it is the sexual energy at the cosmic level that stimulates the hormones in the developing teenager, not the other way around. It's not form that produces this, it's spirit that produces this. In the pursuit of creating unions and propagating the species. Okay, so we can understand this in a broader sense and in a practical sense, that this is not just something for teenagers and young lovers in love in their 20s or whatever. It's a dynamic interaction between spirit and form that characterizes the whole of human life. And not just human life, but of course those ornamental trees on Goldmine Road and every other aspect of form life that has been touched by the life of spirit. And we should recognize that, and where there is one of the profound things that we learned from raising lamas years and years ago was how warm and loving the family of lamas that we had, which was just a herd. It was a small grouping, but they weren't necessarily related. Some were, some weren't. But they viewed sex as a spectator sport, where when the male and the female were breeding, everybody else would gather around and offer encouragement and soak up the good vibes. And so the first thing to understand about this is there's nothing nasty or dirty about sex. It's part of divine life. It's a very redemptive, wholesome process that irradiates the physical plane with a high quality of love and joy and delight. and it's meant to be used in building and to produce unification. We then go on to the creative challenge of the Ace of Pentacles, and the Ace of Pentacles, of course, is the ideal of physical form, and so in many ways, sexuality is the hidden potency of form. And it's one of the secrets of the form world that, if pursued wisely and intelligently, leads us back to heaven, to its sources in heaven. And so we should pursue that. And then we come down to the card of purpose and the Four of Rods. And of course, as you know, this is the Four of Rods is a symbol based on the marriage floats or carriages of medieval times, when the intended or the betrothed wife or woman would travel to the home or the castle of her fiancé on a cart decorated with the four posts. I guess that's a symbol of the four-poster, and decked out with flowers in this way. So this is a symbol of unification, of the role of marriage, in that marriage symbolizes unification and the pledging of responsibility to one another. And that's that separates humanity, mankind, from the animal kingdom, where there is no such pledge. But in the consecration of marriage, seen as a sacrament, then this allows the light of spirit to come in and bring an ever greater amount of spiritual maturity into the physical plane. So this is one of the great uses of sexuality. And there's no, it has to be understood that there's no restrictions here. The ideas that disciples and aspirants need to be celibate is a completely erroneous idea. It's counter to the design of divine life. This is meant to unite heaven and earth, and in a joyful, celebrating fashion, not a mournful or problematic situation. We then come to the force of the card of the endowment, and we have the Eight of Swords, where the individual is blindfolded and probably gagged. If the blindfold slips any further down, she would be gagged. And tied up with four swords on the right and four swords on the left. And so basically trapped. And this symbolizes the value of sexuality in releasing, in joining the inner with the outer, and in a very practical way, whether we're married or not, whether we're engaged in physical sex is unimportant. We need to understand the relationship of spirit to form, that spirit is, the more we develop our affinity for spirit, the more we liberate our life from its prison in form. And so sexuality is a form of liberation. And we need to approach it in that sense, that during, for example, to go back to the Four of Rods and the marriage situation, when a husband and a wife are conceiving a child, they create an actual vortex which can be seen psychically. And that vortex is the spiritual force that draws in an incarnating soul. And that happens whether or not the union is a felicitous one or just one based on lust. The laws of life are set down, and then it's up to us to make the most of them. But in this particular case, it suggests that the purer we can create that vortex, the more light will come in, and the more we will invoke an advanced enlightened soul to inhabit the physical form that's being woven and created in etheric and astral substance as well as physical substance. But having said that, that analogy then holds true to our own spiritual growth, where we discover we've been entrapped in form, and by our worries, our fears, our anxieties, our ignorance. And as we invoke and create an invocation for spirit to liberate us, we are invoking the very essence of energy, the spirit of creativity that will untie the ties that bind us and remove the blindfold and let us see at inner dimensions. So this is very important. We've gone through many long eons where we've become trapped, and now we need to liberate ourselves. And it's the inner essence of sexuality that above all can help us as we seek to unify the personality with its soul. And this theory, this idea is carried forth then in the card of the destiny, the Two of Rods, where the individual is contemplating the wholeness of the globe, the perfect wholeness of the globe, and has his hand on one rod and is well aware of its opposite extreme, but is finding a way to unify them, and out of that union give birth to new direction, new purpose, new lessons, new growth. This is the embodiment of the energy of sexuality in the individual aspirant as he learns to see the bigger picture and embrace the larger whole, but always with the sense of the electric analogy, or the analogy of electricity, where you have two poles, and a positive and negative, and you set up a union between them so that a strong current is magnetically created. And that's the underlying law of attraction, of magnetic attraction, which underlies the energy of sex. And it's true of attracting ideas to you, creative inspiration, any larger force. It's true of learning to control the urges of mass consciousness, the urges of our sexual nature, etc., etc. We learn to use this power for self-discipline, self-restraint, as well as for creative expression. Okay, that's the quick cook's tour of the initial cross of this layout. Any comments or questions before I move on to the pillar of revelation? Any comments or questions about the law of sex and how...
You can't mute it.
What? Oh, do I have it muted? No, I don't think I do anymore.
Oh, okay.
Any comments or questions before I go on? Anybody?
So, Carl, is it the invocation that allows us to draw in this power then? To use it, like you had mentioned, for self-discipline, strength, creative expression. I'm just wondering if it's your intent and your invocation that turns on the faucet of the power.
It's the intent to unify.
Okay.
It's not just intent. Intent by itself is masculine energy. The masculine needs the feminine energy, something that will respond to it. And so the mind needs a fertile field to inseminate, just as I described the field on Goldmine Road that Rose and I were driving by. It was originally a horse pasture that was let to lay fallow. And when there were no horses to run around and trample down the seeds, then all these neighboring ornamental trees, the birds and the breeze and whatnot, blew the pollen over and the seeds, and they took growth in this empty pasture. And now it's a resplendent It's always pretty, but at this time of the year, with all the trees in full white blossom, it is absolutely breathtaking. And that's an example of the need for a field plus the seed to inseminate it. And so you can have a seed thought or a seed atom in an idea, and then you need a force field or a field of activity to impregnate. And that might be the willing cooperation of other people. It might just be a body of mental energy. But there has to be those two poles, the intent and the reception.
Okay.
That's what creates the invocation and allows the creation of the vortex that brings in new life energy. So, for example, to give you a practical example, if you're going about your work and you're expressing love for the work you do, your work becomes the field in which the seed of your love is planted so that it grows and you can nurture it and it develops and takes form. And that's the basis of all human creativity. It's the basis of creating ideas that I write about. It's the basis of creating ideas for classes that I teach. It becomes a very automatic, smooth process, but it is a process of inspiration. And in many ways, the mental component of what we're talking about here is intuition. It's the ability to grasp the potential within the idea, the energy of ideas, and shape it into something that responds to it. Does that make sense?
Oh, it makes perfect sense, and it's really quite a beautiful process. You know, as you were describing it, there's great beauty in it.
Well, I'm glad you perceive that. Yes, there is great beauty in it. And there's great beauty, great joy. It's an aspect of our humanity to celebrate, not to diffuse by thinking of it as nasty or something to be done with all the windows and drapes pulled and done only in secret at night when nobody can see. I mean, not that I advocate going out and being an exhibitionist, but the fact is one of the ancient or one of the standing thought forms of humanity is, well, what if while we're having sex, there are spooks looking on? Ugh! It would be like being in bed with your mate and your parents walked in on you. Ugh!
You walking on your parents.
Or vice versa, yes. Equally, ugh. See, we have that kind of a thought form, which is absolutely back-assward and makes no sense whatsoever, because sexuality should be seen and celebrated as one of the great expressions of beauty and harmony in human experience. And in fact, it will be far more powerful if while you're engaged in intercourse, your sexual or otherwise, you share that with your friends in spirit and various angelic forces. After all, sexual energy is itself an angelic force. And so we have lots of strange notions about privacy and the need for privacy and intimacy. And yet a touch of exhibitionism, at least sharing it with the inner planes, is going to bring in more light, not less light. So I'll just toss that little nugget out there for you all to think about and refine into pure gold. Other comments or questions before we move on?
Well, I think we've all had an opportunity to know of couples that are married a really long time and and still are very active sexually and just consider each other so beautiful and wonderful. And you know what you said before, the mental connection, I think, is the key, isn't it? That there's this respect and love and enthusiasm about life that keep them very young and very attracted to each other.
The real nexus of sexuality is not physical. It's not even emotional. That level of attraction is almost mechanical. And the real essence of sexuality is the mature love that develops and the recognition of that love at the level of the soul and the recognition that you're married to or have a relationship with someone that you cared very deeply about at the soul level and would you come together in order to create beautiful expressions, even if it's not in the form of children, but in the form of strengthening the bond of relationship. There's a tremendous amount that can be said about that, and the opportunity to infuse that relationship with beauty and harmony and love. There's almost no known bounds to what can be done here. It's a truly transcendental experience, to use a cliched word like that. It at its highest level, it lifts you up out of your selfishness and actually inspires some people to tap a higher octave of love that is far purer than anything they've, you know, the emotions, the what we call love at the emotional level is highly possessive, highly selfish. It's all about me and pleasing me as opposed to sharing an intimate moment with somebody that you care deeply about. And the purposes of, or the potential of sexuality is to share at this deep level of identification and unity, which can exist at the level of the soul, and to really entwine yourself in the beauty and grace of the soul of the other individual, of your mate. And therein lies the dramatic power of sex and how humanity, I mean, it leads ultimately back to all of the qualities of the soul, and this is part of the gift of divine life to human beings. Other comments or questions? Well, then we go on to the pillar of revelation, and we have the Knight of Pentacles in the position of the real question, and that brings us into what we were talking about here. There is no form. He's riding a horse, but that's not in the picture. So we're talking about the human aspect of this, not the animal, automatic, instinctual, rutting instincts. And the first question that comes up is, who or what is in control? What are you responding to? Are you just responding to chemical urges within your system, to hormones, or are you responding to a higher level of guidance and love? And then the second one is, what is the inner potential for light and enrichment and beauty through this relationship, which could be the relationship between you and the soul? It could be the relationship between two married people. It could be the relationship between humanity and God. The question is, what is the greater potential, or what is the potential that can be tapped through this interaction? If there's no potential to be tapped, then you might as well fall in love with a rock. It will bring you less grief. But there is a great deal that is unknown to psychologists that can be explored in terms of the enrichment of human sexuality. The next card up is the card of the hidden forces, the unseen forces and factors. And, of course, we have the moon here, which is the 18th card in the major arcana, or a 9. The next card will be a 9, so those two will be related. What this suggests is that there is such a thing as cosmic sex, not that you're going to experience it because you're not cosmic. We are made of cosmic fabric, cut from cosmic fabric. But what we're talking about here is the level of attraction that might exist between two planetary forces, two divine beings. And that goes so far beyond human imagination that all we can do is speculate on it and know that it happens without really understanding it. But obviously the solar system came from somewhere and its physical form given birth through some kind of process. And all we can do is, again, speculate on it. But what this is showing to you is that, again, there is a kind of energy that has nothing to do with the physical plane or the emotional plane, but is nonetheless a cosmic energy of sexuality embodied by angelic forces, and that can be invoked and worked with in a controlled way, both in the creative process and in the expression of human sexuality. Excuse me. So again, there are these principles go to a far more profound level than what you read about in the columns of Playboy or Penthouse or wherever you, whatever you, Cosmo. That is treating sexuality in the most banal, form-oriented way. We come then to the spiritual ideal. And the spiritual ideal is our journeying man here with the incredible smirk. And this reminds us that the spiritual ideal is joy and delight in life and being alive and full of the vibrancy of life and able to bring the living energies of heaven into everything we do. First and foremost in sexual relationships, but also in our creative pursuits and our, obviously our pursuit of artistic avenues and enrichment is a way in which humanity is constantly enriched at a sexual level by the inner dimensions of life. Art reveals to us the dynamic beauty and harmony of the inner life. And so the ultimate expression of sexuality, whether in physical intercourse or simply in our pursuit of spiritual union, should be joy and delight. This has nothing to do with what's happening to us in our physical life. Our physical life we may be experiencing great difficulties and obstacles to prove our mettle and our merit and our patience. But we can always, through our union with spirit, tap the joy and the light and delightment of being alive and filled with life. The underlying message or keynote of sexuality is, it's a way to be filled with light, to not just to experience a little bit as you would seeing a sunset or a sunrise and you see the beauty far off, but actually experience this beauty up close, personal, intimately. And that is a joy of living that is available to anybody that's willing to work with the laws of sexuality correctly. And then we come back to our culmination, which is death. And we've talked about this already. The clue here is the twin towers in the lower left-hand corner, with the sun rising or setting between them, are twin erections there. And the fact that as we unify that which is separate, we create, I mean, look at that. Isn't that a reproduction or replication of the two of rods, which was our card of destiny, and this is our fulfillment. Only in this case, the sun that is setting or rising is the globe that the fellow in the two of rods is holding, and the two rods that define the situation are the twin towers, the twin erections, as I refer to them. And those could be thought of as the gates of passage, either from spirit to physical life in the case of birth, or from physical life to spirit in the case of death. It's the same as the four of rods, where we have the two sets of rods on either side, creating a gateway to the castle, which is the city on the hill, or on the other side of the river. And so through sexuality, there is this union of the pairs of opposites. The two become as one. And that's what releases renewal and regeneration and rebirth. And it's what preserves life on the physical plane, human life. But keep in mind that human life is not defined by the physical body. The physical body, as is so often the case, there are many life forms that have no physical bodies, like angels. And that doesn't mean that they're any less alive. It just means they're not experiencing life in the physical form. They influence it. They work to nurture it and keep nature moving. But they don't have physical bodies, except as they lend their energy to us, and we create physical bodies. So it is with sexuality. We that which has been separated and estranged is brought back together again in a common purpose, in a common intent, in a common goal. And in that process, something is created that lifts both poles out of their, liberates that which holds us back and traps us. Okay, I'm going to stop there and entertain further comments and questions about the law of sex. Questions and comments? Anybody? Nobody?
I guess the word that comes to my mind is how intimately, you know, we are connected to each other, to, you're saying, the cosmos.
Sure.
Spirit, and that it's wonderful, it's exciting, it's thrilling, it's pleasurable. There
should be no distinction in our minds between the sexual relationship between a man and a woman as we know it, and at a cosmic level, because it's absurd for us to think that this is something that exists only at the physical level. It is at its simplest, least complicated form at the physical level. The beauty and the joy that is inherent within sexuality is cosmic. And that can be experienced in a sexual relationship between a man and a woman. But it is the joy of unification, the joy of the two becoming as one. And that's something that cannot be attained in any other way, regardless of our opinions or whatever. This is the law of sex, and it's a law that is part of the larger law of attraction. It's part of the law of creation, which we'll talk about 2 weeks from now. is part of the law of polarity, which we talked about 2 weeks ago. And this all makes a coherent total package. And but we need to think of it as energy. And you're absolutely right. Our first taste of this is in the intimacy of the human sexuality, but that between two people. But that's not the limitation. That's not meant to be a limitation. That's meant to be a starting point that opens us up to the whole realm of spirit and divinity. And there's tremendous grace and beauty to be discovered as you expand into the inner dimensions of life. Other comments or questions?
Carl?
Yes.
Will you send out the piece of artwork that you dug up in addition to the copy of the spread?
I'll try to remember, sure.
Thank you.
If I failed to do it, just email me back and remind me.
Thank you.
Sure. Anybody else? Other questions about the law of sex? This is your chance to ask.
What's it all about, Alfie?
What's it all about, Alfie? Why ask that? All right, well, that's it for tonight. On that, I'm going to retreat back into my rabbit hole here. So, good night, and we'll do this again in a couple of weeks. Then we'll talk about creation in general. So have a good couple of weeks, and talk to you later.